hello on this Monday. Welcome to Ray and Tay Today, and I'm Ray, that's Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor, and you know what? It doesn't seem like a Monday, but that's all right, because it is.
What day does it seem like?
You know, I don't know. I really don't know. Maybe a Wednesday, maybe whatever, maybe because, you know, last week we had a Thursday show, you know, whatever it is. But listen, I'm glad we're here, and we're here to talk sports with friends, man, so give us a call. 718-664-9098. RayandTayToday@gmail.com is the email. We love your emails. We'll probably get to some on the show if we can. Hit us up also at the website. We've got our fantasy baseball. You can see how Ray and Tay teams are doing. Tay steals home, and Ray is hitting hard. So you can check that out. Go to RayandTayToday.com. We've got, NBA draft stuff, some great poll questions, photos, all types of hot topics. And we love you to get involved and be interactive. On Twitter and Facebook, it's also Ray and Tay Today. And definitely tweet at us. We love tweeting with fans, media types. You know, we were tweeting with Peter Vesey this weekend. We tweet with everybody, man. So it's kind of fun. And, hey, everybody's on Twitter. So might as well join in and join the fun with us. Ray, let them know, man, this Monday, how we're breaking it down.
So we got a lot going on this Monday. So we have a big weekend. You know, we had some, we had the Kentucky Derby. We had Floyd Money Mayweather.
Yeah.
So we got some stuff going on. So we'll go through breaking news, what happened, and then we will take you around the NBA. We've got some NBA playoff first round matches that ended, and now second round series that started and that are starting this week. So we'll go through that. Then we'll bring you our segment Champs and Chumps, when Ray and Tay bring you our heroes and goats, our champs and chumps of the weekend. So we'll tell you who's on top of the world and who didn't deliver this weekend. And then we'll end the show by talking about what's happening in the world of baseball. All you baseball fans out there, we didn't forget about you. You know, that's the thing. Baseball has its time, certainly when the basketball playoffs end. I mean, they go pretty much exclusively in from mid-June through July and August, and then football starts, but then the baseball playoffs. So we didn't forget about you, baseball fans. We got you. We got you. We just, we had our MLB preview. We'll talk a little about what's going on in baseball. So we got all that. So it's a packed show. So let's get into what went on this weekend.
Well, I don't know. For me, I didn't get to see the Mayweather fight, but I want to start there just because there was some buzz. It did seem exciting in the sense that, you know, just even getting the highlights on ESPN, and I'll watch the replay next weekend. But, of course, you know, he does his business. He loses like one round and dominates in unanimous decision again. But I guess still for me the question will always be, you know, when I hear the rumors of the next opponents, it's not Pacquiao. So I guess I'll still be upset, as maybe some other boxing fans will. And maybe I just got to accept that they'll never fight. I don't know your thoughts. But I will say this, just a note in history. It's time to give Mayweather some respect, too. I think he is a little underappreciated and underrespected, not by himself or his own camp, but I just think in the whole boxing world, I think it's time to start to give him the respect and love that he deserves. Because what is it? Is he 39-0 now or 40-0 or something? I mean, the dude's incredible, right? You can't touch him.
44-0 with 26 knockouts.
There you go. Okay, so I mean, let's just give him his props.
As much as you want to knock him, Mayweather, and you can for his business decision and the fact that he didn't want to go 50-50 with Pacquiao, and the fact that he talks a lot, and you know, he hooked up with Golden Boy, he hooked up with your boy De La Hoya for the promotions and everything. So putting the business side aside, pardon the French, but this guy's a tremendous boxer. And he is really a boxer that stands out across generations. One of the problems that he has is that he's fighting in a generation that, you know, we grew up with Hagler and Hearns and Leonard and all these guys, Alexis Arguello, you know, all these guys would fight each other.
Aaron Pryor,
you know, they move up to fight each other, not move up to avoid each other. So the problem with Mayweather is that some of it is his own doing. The people don't like him. Those who don't like him because of, you know, what he does off, you know, outside the ring. I don't think anybody has a problem with him in the ring. He's a phenomenal boxer. Unfortunately, he grew up in an era where he didn't really have somebody as good as he is. And
to push him like that.
To push him. And so the one guy that you thought would give him a good fight was Manny Pacquiao. Now, I don't know if it was ego because he didn't want to go 50-50 with him, but you got to figure that they were each guaranteed in the 30, 40 million range. So really, you're gonna avoid that fight? Why? And even if we do have that fight, you know, we're going to have that fight when both of these guys are 5 years past when we should have had this fight. So even if this does happen, these guys are going to...
It's sort of like Tyson Holyfield, right? You know, it's too late.
People will still watch, and that's the problem. People will still watch it, and they'll still pay. So this pay-per-view thing is great for the top boxers, but it's horrible for the rest of the sport. So he'll still get paid, and he'll until he starts losing, you know, until he loses his second in a row or third in a row, he'll still make $20, $30 million a fight. So money, quote-unquote, Mayweather, is still going to get paid. But I feel like we lost out by not seeing Pacquiao Mayweather 5 years ago.
Definitely. And speaking of losing out, some people might have lost down there in the rain at the in the Kentucky Blue, the bluegrass over there, the Kentucky Derby. We congratulate Orb for winning, and, you know, we saw Brady there rooting with the friends and family and all those people. You know, Patino's Golden Sense didn't, you know, didn't make it up in there. Who was place? Normandy was Golden Soul was the place, and the show was...
Revolutionary, yeah.
And so, you know, I thought I had Revolutionary to win, and I thought maybe Patino might get second, and... You know, I had a dark horse. It's my lucky day. I figured, you know, maybe, you know, with the female jockey, she's actually had the best record this season. She's been killing that she might be able to do it. And I thought it was just interesting learning some of the history, you know, especially for, I forgot the guy from St. Croix, the African-American guy, that there hasn't been basically a black jockey winning in 110 years. But out of the first 28 Kentucky Derbies, 15 were African American. So that's kind of an incredible historical note there. So there was, you know, the history of black jockeys who were like dominant. So it's just interesting. I think horse racing, NASCAR, golf, tennis, I think all these sports, it's great when we start to get more diversity, whether it's gender or different ethnicities and cultures. So, you know, kudos to Orb and kudos to Kentucky Derby and just all that jazz. And it's always fun, right? And we'll see if Orb can go for the Triple Crown. You know,
had one since 1978. So let's see.
Yeah, it's oof, you know, and the record still is in 73 with Secretariat, 159 is the time, and they Orb came in at 202, so 159.22 is the record. So that's kind of interesting. Also, in football news, you know, something we got to shout out for our boy Hank, man. The Dolphins get their tackle. They signed the 31-year-old veteran Tyson Clabo, who used to be with the Falcons and, you know, played with a couple different teams. So it's looking like maybe Winston will wind up with the Chargers, and Brandon Albers will stay with the Chiefs. And, you know, the draft pick, Fisher, might be at right tackle, left tackle, whatever they work it out. You see Jokel and, you know, the minicamp stuff's going on this weekend and the past weekend. And Jokel with the Jacksonville Jaguars, you see he's working out at the right tackle. So, they, you know, they're working their things out over there. You see the great quarterback from Michigan, Denard Robinson, playing a little running back slash receiver. So, you know, it's fascinating to see.
Yeah, he was fun to listen to because – you know, look, I'm not going to judge anybody for, you know, they put in their time to be a quarterback and learn their craft, but he took the exact opposite approach that Tim Tebow took, which was to say, hey, I'm ready. You know, whatever they need me to play, I'll play. I want to contribute. I'm an athlete. I think I can make a team. I think I can do, you know, I'm going to let these coaches coach me up, and I know
that's
I can
good.
Play quarterback, and if I need to do, you know, your Steelers had a couple of these, right? If I need to be Hines Ward or if I need Antoine Randle, if I need to become Antoine Randle L, well, I'll do that. I'll do whatever it takes to make an NFL roster and contribute on an NFL roster.
And have an NFL career. And
right.
I think
and right,
kudos to him.
So
kudos
really
to Denard Robinson.
Quarterback.
No, he can't. But he is an amazing athlete and a special talent and a great football player. He's just a great football player. The ball's in his hands and magic happens. So we'll see what happens there and, you know, definitely, you know, wish him well. Also on the football front, looks like Ed Reed. He undergoes surgery, Ray. What'd you think about that? It seems like it's
a little late,
Ray.
A little hip.
Get a little
surgery
on the hip. It's like, really? You waited this long? And Gronkowski, big Gronkinator up in New England, he's got to wait another 2 weeks just to see if this infection heals before he could potentially go under for his fourth operation. So, you know, hey, look, this is a little bit of football news. You know, it's mainly a basketball and baseball day, but we had to give you some little bit of the tidbits and stuff like that going around. But, you know, hey, it's always fun to check out the mini camps and, you know, hear about some of these guys and the football news. You know, we've talked about the Eagles and, you know, Vic and McCoy on Thursday. And, I you know, I'm excited. I think as a football fan, you've just got to be excited and you'll see, you know, how your players that were drafted and free agent signings, how they fit into your roster. And we still have a couple of big guys out there, Ray, sort of like Dwight Freeney, Abraham, Carlos Dansby, and Charles Woodson. You know,
players.
Along with Cedric Benson. So you've got some great veteran players. You know, there's some rumors that maybe even the Patriots might give T.O. a shot. So we'll see what happens. But it will be very interesting to see as the mini camps and the mandatory, you know, veterans mini camps come up and then maybe, and even into training camp where these four or five veteran potential defensive starters, where they sign. So we'll, but we'll keep you updated on that. So.
Yeah,
so you ready, man?
Open. It's NBA
time. Are you ready to talk about the hoops, man? Let's get into
some of the breaking news here, right? It looks like so PJ Carlissimo is out as a coach of the Nets. I guess even though he went 36-19, you lose that first round series to the Bulls, and we'll get into that a little bit. You lose that first round series to the Bulls, the Nets were figuring they're going to move in a different direction. So we'll talk a little bit about, you know, who should be the Nets coach. We'll get into that a little bit, you know, over the coming weeks. LeBron wins the MVP. One person didn't vote for him for MVP. That's
Gary Washburn up in Boston, yeah.
For what? Who did he vote for?
He voted for Melo. He voted for Melo, and he was on ESPN this morning. He explained why, and I understood his feelings and his beliefs and what he thought Melo did for the team with all the injuries, and I think Melo had a great year. I could see you voting Melo second. I just think LeBron was just too dominant. But, hey, it's just one vote. It didn't cause him losing his award. So, you know, it just wasn't unanimous. That's all.
Right. And we said, interestingly enough, that if Melo and Durant even, if those two had played any other year, that they could have easily been MVP. It's just that LeBron was probably, you know, he is the best player in the league, and he probably had the best season in the league, and he was probably the best defensive player in the league too. We had a debate about that. Probably,
yeah,
Marcus Gasol won that. But
he's the most
LeBron
valuable
just
poet.
Had a phenomenal year. On any other year, that easily could have been Carmelo's hardware or Kevin Durant's hardware.
Definitely.
Right,
definitely.
And then so talking about the games tonight, though, it looks like Chicago is still hit by the injury bug.
Well,
so,
Dang is out,
and then Rose is out, and Heinrich is a game time decision.
Yes, I, you know, I don't know. Let's just get into it because I got so much to say about this Bull team, and I think first thing I want to say is congratulations for them being complete warriors on the road and pulling out a great win, Game 7 in Brooklyn. But I think the biggest thing, I mean, when you don't have Deng for 6 and 7 and you don't have Rose for the whole series, Noah's, you know, playing but not full minutes, and then Heinrich's out for 5, 6, and 7, I think the Nets, it was embarrassing. And, you know, I feel bad for PJ. I think the roster is a little limited, but I think it was a good first year for them. But I think at the end of the day, they don't have the money, but they're going to have to make some trades to improve and change the roster. And I think there's going to be some serious questions if D. Will and Joe Johnson are the guys to really lead you to that next place.
Well, they have $90 million committed, so that's a problem. And I think more than that is what I woke up to. It took me a while, but about two-thirds of the season in, is they're missing something. They are missing, you know, they looked, we talked about this off air.
They're not
right?
The orange and blue. We run New York. That's right.
Well,
the Knicks run New York.
Well,
sorry, Ricky.
But, you know, we're talking about the Nets right now. So
I know,
focused, you know what I mean? But no, but really, the Nets are missing something. I mean, they have, and this is why I love their roster in the preseason, because, you know, they have the swingman in Gerald Wallace, and they have the backcourt in Deron Williams and, you know, Joe Johnson, and they have the center in Brook Lopez, and they have Reggie Evans and Chris Humphreys. So from a X's and O's on paper, GM, we talked about this in Dallas a little bit, right? Where Jerry Jones put a decent roster on the field. Billy King put a decent roster on the court at the Barclays Center. But for some reason, they are missing something. And that backcourt, like you said they need Nate Robinson. They need some guy that maybe he plays out of control a little bit. Maybe he's a coach's, you know, you got to keep him in line. But you need energy. You need some. I mean, it's a professional, you know, professional sports, and it's professional athletes. But still, it's a game. It's a game a lot based on emotion, and it's a lot based on, you know, intangibles and getting up, and you know, because they have every skill set covered. It's just that they're missing something, and you just saw.
They're missing that crazy horse, that ha. Because, no, it's funny. It's so true what you're saying, because you can't start out Game 7 at home with no passion. And the Bulls just smacked him in the face in the first quarter, and then the Nets are trying to get back into it. You can't come out with no energy. I mean, Ray, that's, like, disgusting. And, yeah, D. Will had 24 and whatever, but Joe Johnson, I mean, he had some clutch shots in the series, right, like in Game 3 and all that. But, I mean, he played like he was a hot mess on the other night. Brook Lopez has, like, 3 rebounds in the first half. I mean, they were nowhere. You saw Boozer. You saw Noah. You saw even Nazi Muhammad have moments in this series.
Nazi!
I mean, yes, Nazir. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And to me, I'm like, come on, where's the passion? You can't look. Your passion can't come just from Gerald Wallace. And honestly, I think one of the issues is maybe Gerald Wallace should be a sixth man. You should have another 3. And I'm going to tell you this: I don't like how they use their lineups, because to me, I definitely would have taken advantage and developed to have a better second year. Marshawn Brooks is a scorer, and they didn't play him enough. And so there have been plenty of times I would have went D. Will, Brooks, Joe Johnson, and then maybe Blatch, Lopez, or something else, different combinations that I never saw the Nets really use that often. And so sometimes I don't know what it is and why, the dynamics of why different coaches use different lineups and rotations, and we'll get into my complaints about the Knicks lineup right now too. But I just think that the Nets, you know, you needed some scoring, and it's like you left scoring on the bench with Brooks. I really feel that.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think that this outcome would have been materially different if they had Dwight Howard on the roster? Or do you think that the problem is fundamental in the backcourt with the rest of the roster? Obviously, would have to give up something. They would have to give up Brooks and Lopez and, you know, who knows what else to get Howard. So what I'm asking basically in a short is, do they have to blow up the roster, or do they are there tweaks, and maybe they can get back into the Dwight Howard sweepstakes somehow?
Is there still a sweepstakes? I don't know. I mean, I see what you're saying. I just don't know if it's a reality anymore. I don't know if I think he is going to be in L.A. I think he's stuck in L.A. For some reason. I just do. And I don't know. I mean, to me, yeah, I think the Nets, I would do – they're talking now rumors of Jeff Van Gundy, Stan Van Gundy. I don't care who you get, Brian Shaw, Byron Scott, Phil Jackson. You need to get a solid coach, and I would get one of those five. You know, the owner always wants to try to stick it to New York. Well, then hire Patrick Ewing, you know. But I know that that's just an outside shot. I'm just throwing that out there. But I'm telling you that you're going to have to trade. Like, if you get rid of Wallace and Humphreys, and maybe you can, you know, bring in, you know, like a Larry Sanders type. Like, you need more oomph, because they're soft in the middle. And Reggie Evans is not talented enough to be your only dude. You know what I'm saying? So to me, if you're going to have a center like Brook, who has really improved and is getting better, but is just not a presence defensively, and Blatch, I don't know if he has enough to do it, then there's got to be that third guy that plays 20 minutes a night that does something. And to me, I really think Jared Wallace should come off the bench. He's not a starting small forward to me, even though he plays great defense.
Okay, and I think they're a little disappointed with Joe Johnson. But if you look back into his days, you know, starting out with, I guess he was traded from the Celtics, but the Suns and Atlanta, his teams haven't had much playoff success. Some of it's not his fault, but, you know, he's a solid player, but they're playing him like a superstar, and he just doesn't make the roster better. Now, maybe that's his position, you know, playing shooting guard alongside D. Will. So he doesn't have the ball in his hands as much. But I feel like so much money is put into that backcourt, and D. Will's ankles were bad. His ankle was bad this year, and, you know, arguably he should have had surgery all year. He's playing on those bad wheels.
Yeah.
And Joe Johnson doesn't lift up the roster. I mean, he gets his, and he's a solid player, and he's, you know, you need to deal with him. He's had some great shots in, you know, in that past series, but you know, that backcourt, you know, it's like you thought you had one of the top three backcourt. We did our show where we put top backcourts in the league, and we thought, you know, maybe they're a top five, top three backcourt in the league. And for some reason, they just can't lift the team up.
Yeah. Well, hey, we'll see what happens, and definitely wish PJ well, and they'll get a new coach. Now let's slide to the West Coast with now the other big story of the offseason. So you've got the Nets, you've got the Lakers and Dwight Howard and Kobe's health, and then now you've got CP3, Del Negro, and the Clippers, along with sort of the Celtics and what they do. But looking at the Clippers, didn't love hearing CP3 like, oh, well, I'll figure things out, and, you know, the press conference and yada, yada, yada. Look, I don't know if it's Blake Griffin being injured, and, you know, Zach Randolph's like, I'm playing, and I've been hurt all series too. So I don't know, you know, look, how hurt Blake was. He didn't look the same. Clippers, they I don't want to say they choked, because they didn't choke, but the same series last year, they pulled it out and won. This year they didn't. It is what it is. How do they change this team for Chris Paul to come back, and how do they improve it? Because I think in some ways Chris Paul sees that this team is not quite there, but I don't know if there's anywhere else for him to go. I don't think he can go to Dallas or Atlanta, and I don't think he can get a trade to New York and necessarily be in a better situation. So what do you think the Clippers do first?
Well, first thing, I think they need a new coach. I mean, Vinny – you know, and I liked Vinny as you know, North Carolina State Vinny Del Negro.
I got love for Vinny too, but
veteran in the NBA.
He's gone. You see the writing on the wall. Vinny's gone.
Yeah, for some reason, that's, I don't want to say it's oil and water, but again, it's not maximizing the potential. I feel like the players don't really respect him, and maybe they say the right things, but deep down, I don't know that he gets the most out of those players. And that's another team that. Finally, we used to kill Elgin Baylor with where they would draft and how they would never sign anybody. And, you know, it goes from they got a rough break with Danny Manning being injured, but then, you know, you go to Olawa Candy, and then you had all kinds of, you know, bad draft picks, and then Ron Harper, and then trading away number ones and not drafting the right guys and whatever. But they have a roster that's pretty decent. You know, this is a roster that should contend for the Western Conference. They got a bad matchup in 4-5, you know, to go up against a Grizzly team. And, you know, obviously Blake getting hurt towards the end of the series didn't help. But you're right. Chris Paul looks around, and you know, he did that whole thing with Carmelo at the wedding. You know, we should all play together and whatever with Amari and Carmelo. But if you look around, there aren't many better situations than the Clippers, especially given that the Lakers are on the decline, given that they have a lot of uncertainty with Kobe's health and how many years he has left, and Dwight Howard, whether or not he'll stay in L.A. and how happy he'll be, certainly during his tenure with Kobe.
So, could you see Phil Jackson? Let me answer this real quick. Could you see Phil Jackson coaching the Clippers? He wants to be close by his wife. I don't think he's totally against coaching, although he might want to run an organization. But, you know, that could be the perfect situation.
You know, it's possible. I don't have any insight on Phil Jackson. He's a weird guy. I can't read him. But in a good way.
I don't
think
his wife does either.
Right, he's quirky. But I don't think he would do that. First of all, I don't think he wants to be an 82-game, what ends up being a 100-game-a-year coach, which means that you got to sit on the bench and you got to travel and you got to do a bunch of things that are physically strenuous. I don't think that's Phil anymore. I think he'd love to be in some kind of advisory, master Zen guru, chief Zen. You know, all these companies have like chief revenue officer, chief strategy officer. So he would be their chief Zen Meister.
So he's the CZO.
Yeah, CZO, your chief Zen officer. Because I don't think he really wants to game in and game out coach. I mean, it might even be one of those situations where if he did coach, he wouldn't go on road trips. And I think that's just not – I don't know if that works. But
okay, so then let me ask you this then, another quick question. Do you have CP3 call Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Olajuwon, or whoever, and tell them to work with Griffin and Jordan so they can really improve and not wait to year 8, 9, or 10 like Amari and LeBron did? Because Barkley made that point the other night on TNT. Why do these players wait to their 8th, 9th, 10th year to go work with someone? If you want to learn and really get your post moves down, well, Jordan and Griffin are what, a year 4 and 5? Well, let's do it now, fellas. Let's get your game. Don't just rely on your lob city and athleticism, because it doesn't work in the playoffs. So let's really work on your game so then Chris Paul could say, okay, I'll come back with you two, Caron Butler, I got Crawford, and then the rest of those guys we can switch out and interchange. Maybe we trade Bledsoe and Willie Green. Grant Hill, Odom, and Chauncey Billups probably aren't coming back. So let's get some younger guys in here, and let's build with the nucleus of us 5 or 6, and let's go work out with, you know, learn some post moves, and let's get really better.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting that people are not calling Blake Griffin out because it's unfair, but if you think about the legacy of the power forwards that were drafted either number one or top five, I mean, think about how all of these guys developed their games and became dominant players. So think about from the mid-80s on, mid-90s on. So think about Timmy Duncan in 97, 98. And then you figure the year before was Garnett. And then he came in an era where Rasheed Wallace came out. And Chris Webber.
Came out. Yeah.
So these were dominant fours. And, oh, by the way, they were all top five picks, and they were all great in college. But you know what? They got better. They got better in the pros. And I feel like Blake Griffin – I don't want to say he's relying on his athletic ability exclusively because Jordan's doing that. But Blake Griffin has a little bit, you know, more game. But you're right.
Two moves.
I mean,
like 1.5 moves.
Let's go. What's the problem? Work on your game. Go to, you know, Pete Newell's big man camp and work on your game. You'll always have your athleticism, but look at it. You know who you need to look at?
Well,
look
actually,
at
no. You won't always have your athleticism.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
You're
right. And that's
look at Zach Randolph and then look at Blake getting hurt. He got hurt and he couldn't jump anymore, but Zach Randolph never can jump.
And look at a guy like McDice, who started out as this jumping jack coming out of Alabama and had to reinvent himself and was never the same, frankly. He was never the dominant player that he was his first few years when he could still rely on his athleticism. So Blake
Shout
Griffin,
out to McDice.
Yeah.
I forgot about our boy, man. Spent New
Year's
with McDice. There's a party over on one of the Taylor great parties on the 142 West 95th Street, baby. Antonio McDice spent New Year's with us, man. That was great.
So it's a little disappointing, but you're right. Chris Paul has a dilemma, right? Chris Paul, you know, he has to look at himself and say, I'm obviously going to get paid the most if I stay with LA, but do I think I can win a championship with these guys? And then if I don't, is there someplace I can go that's better? And the answer to that second question is harder because I'm not sure as I go down the list, where is better than the Clippers if he believes this roster's not good enough?
Yeah, to be honest with you, Ray, I don't think that there is a better. Now, there has been some rumors, Stephen A., reporter on ESPN today, that there's talks where maybe, you know, the Nets and the Clippers might ask permission to talk to Doc Rivers. The Clippers and Celtics might try to work a trade where they, you know, ship Garnett and Pierce over for like a Caron Butler and DeAndre Jordan or for, you know, Blake Griffin and Jordan and somebody. Who knows? I mean, all this is just such early speculation, but I got to say, it'll be fascinating to see those four teams, right? What will the Celtics do? You know, they could just all reload, right, and wait for Rondo to come back and say, this team could have beat the Knicks if they had Rondo, which – looking at the series now, you say, they probably could have.
Yeah, but
you know?
they have championship aspirations, or at least conference championship aspirations. So
No. I'm just saying
one round isn't good enough.
Right. No, I'm not saying the one round per se, but I'm saying to go for it with this same team again, because you got to believe Jeff Green, you know, year two after the surgery, you know, Rondo, the guys that they brought in, even Pierce and Garnett a little bit older, but you're going to have Bradley better, Sullinger, who had a decent rookie year, better. I think the Celtics, you know, say, hey, we could live to fight one more year. I don't know. But you know, let's talk about the games yesterday. I mean, first off, you're upset after, you know, all these game sixes. You feel bad that ABC's like, hey, we got to have the Knicks in primetime, and Oklahoma City and Thunder from late Friday night have to play 12 o'clock local time in Oklahoma. That's kind of messed up, in my opinion. But they gave us a great game. And I know, as you know, and any point guards out there listening could call in, I threw this out there. When you mark Gasol in the corner, a minute left or whatever, 30, I forgot how much time was left, he stopped, he gave up his dribble, and then when Gasol throws the ball and, you know, Reggie Jackson and Conley collide and Conley, you know, winds up out of bounds with it, I blame Conley on that, Ray, because as a point guard, you have got to go to your big man. You see him give up the handle, you've got to give him a clear passing lane. You can't stand there and make him throw some crazy pass that you and the defender wind up fighting for, and then you wind up going out of bounds. I thought that was one thing. And then the two plays before that, he wound up, on the cut, he mishandled the pass, and then there was a turnover. So I don't know. I mean, tell me what you thought about the game. Obviously, you know, Memphis sort of had control, and then fourth quarter, there's a guy named Durant and Kevin Martin stepped up too. So
right, and so Kevin Martin, we slept on Kevin Martin. I mean, we didn't sleep on him, but
no,
really. Yeah,
25 points.
He used to average 20 a game, 22, 23 a game. I mean, in Sacramento and then in Houston, this guy was a scorer. So you don't forget how to score. Like we talked about your athleticism. You can lose your athleticism, but you don't lose your scorer's mentality. So my thing is, the Grizzlies are going to look back. If they lose this series, they're going to look back at this game and say, we got outscored 29-18 in the fourth quarter. And we had this game. And we know what's going to happen. And we know that really they're down to the point forward, Kevin Durant. And maybe, you know, Reggie Jackson might throw in a couple of points. But it really comes down to Kevin Durant and Kevin Martin. And those are the two guys that you got to stop. And they didn't. They scored, well, they scored 35 and 25. They scored 70. Yeah. 70 of their 93. So this is a team that can be defended. And you're the best defensive team in the league. And you have the defensive player of the year. Now, put LeBron's argument, you know, aside. This is an excellent defensive team. And so they're going to kick themselves. They're going to be kicking themselves. Look, they still have games 3, 4, and 6 at home. So you know, Grizzlies still have a chance to win this series. But this was definitely a winnable game.
The game was in your hands.
Yeah, they should have won this game.
That was. And it's hard, right? Because Zebo, I mean, everything that they needed to do, they did well. I mean, even for a bit, keeping Durant under, you know, control, per se, I guess, you know, you've got to respect the second scorer, and now we're seeing Reggie Jackson come into the place where he's learning how to play and run the team without Westbrook. So eventually, they're going to get better as they go along, not having him in terms of, you know, just adjusting to their roles. And I think that's what, you know, what's starting to happen. I think it's going to be a long series. You know, I probably, for some reason, I feel like Memphis could do it, but it's hard to go against Durant. I don't know. What do you think? OKC wins this in 7, or does Memphis' size become too much eventually? I don't know if they can score enough.
I think actually they were scoring decently in this past series. Now it was against the Clippers. Right. Aren't a great defensive team. I actually think I like the Grizzlies in this series. I think that they just wear them down. It's like a boxer, you know, Rocky, with the body blows, the body blows, the body blows, the body blows. I think they eventually – and guess what? They were down 0-2, the Grizzlies were, and won 4 in a row. So they're not really shaken up by adversity, or at least they weren't in the first round.
Right.
So I like the Grizzlies. There's something about this Grizzlies team, especially given
in 6.
That,
could you say in 6? Because I don't think they're going to win Game 7 in Oklahoma City. Just to
well,
be honest.
If that's
I mean,
the case, then they'd have to win in 6.
Yeah.
I mean, they got to steal obviously a game in OKC. So why not the next game? Although OKC will definitely be awake. But yeah, I like this Grizzlies team. I really like this Grizzlies team, especially with this matchup. Obviously, if Russell Westbrook's there, this is a totally different story.
And you got to like them even more when you see Prince and Allen. You know, sometimes you're going to have to put, you know, you got Prince on Durant, but sometimes you have to put Allen on him, even though he's shorter. He gets up on him so well. But I think when you see Poindexter hitting shots and Jared Bayless scoring, you know, shout out to the, you know, Arizona. I saw Sean Miller on Twitter the other night tweeting about his boy, Jared Bayless.
Oh, by the way, speaking of Arizona,
six.
You know who they just signed as their assistant coach?
Who?
Damon Stoudemire.
Stop it. There
yes,
you go.
Little Dame, number one pick.
Yeah.
Well, not number one overall, first round pick. Isaiah Thomas drafted him in Toronto.
There you go. But that's, you know, that's, I think, the thing there. I could definitely see, you know, where they, you know, they could pull it out and win it in 6. It's hard to go against OKC, but I might have to go with you on the Memphis side. So
all right, let's make
let's
this
switch
transition.
To the
we put
the
it
New
off
York.
Long enough. Let's talk about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, well, listen. It's game one. You can't panic in any series in game one,
what did
right?
Peter Vesey but, say?
Peter Vesey said it's game one, no need to panic, no fuss, no muss. That's what Vesey said to me on Twitter. I'm like, yo. I was like, okay, whatever, Peter. Peter's you know, a friend to the show and a great guy and, you know, NBA guru.
It.
But to me, what's so funny, though, is that here's my gripe. When did we fall in love with this lineup that we didn't start for 85 to 90% of the season? Why are we starting Pablo Priglione, Felton, Shumpert, Anthony, and Tyson Chandler. We are so small against this Pacer lineup. Their front court scored 53 points to our front court's like 32 or 42 or whatever. When you this is my thing. You can't have Melo against West and Shumpert, who's barely 6'5 and skinny, against a 6'8 Paul George. And then Lance Stephenson is so much bigger than Felton and Pablo, and he had 11 and 13 rebounds. Oh, by the way, all five of their starters in double figures. So to me, when you start off your team like that, I just think you're at a disadvantage. So either bench Pablo and put in Kidd, or what I say is get bigger and just bench Pablo and put in Copeland, if you want to save Kenyon Martin off the bench, because you've got to, and Copeland gives you more scoring, but also you've got to have a little bit of beef and some size. You just have to, Ray.
Roster you haven't played at all this year. Copeland starting with Carmelo.
No, Copeland started a couple of games. Yeah, he did. Copeland has started, and you got to do it. You have
I'm
to.
I'm exaggerating a little bit, but
yeah.
My point is that's a totally different, you know, rotation. That's a totally different mindset.
But a three-guard
right?
lineup? A three-guard
yeah.
lineup with Melo against Indiana? It makes
yeah,
no sense. I talked to Edgar about this today, and he's like, oh, we'll see after game two. It's just one game, and we were up 7 in the second quarter, and Vessi's no fuss, no muss. Well, listen, you keep putting it off, and you're going to be down 2-0 going to Indiana. Because let me tell you something, the Pacers are fundamentally sound and their size. Do you realize J.R. Smith was 0 for 7 when Paul George was sticking him? Melo shot 10 for 28 in the game. Paul George, West, and Hibbert, they couldn't get around their size. And we got to stop the isolation. We got to do pick and rolls. We got to run a little bit more. We don't run anymore. We got to get some easy baskets.
The last four games, Carmelo is 35 for 105. So he's shooting 32% from the field. The problem is every one of his shots is a difficult shot. And
yeah.
even though he's hard to guard, so shout out to Hard to Guard Radio, he's hard to guard, he's also not making it easy for himself because he's taking difficult shots. And we're not creating enough. And that's where, that's where Woody is not a great offensive coach. So he's not getting Carmelo open looks. So we're not running sets that get Carmelo open looks. Now, granted, it's the playoffs and it's all about execution and you won't be wide open, but still he's taking these difficult shots. So the Knicks really have to – they have to be concerned. And we talked about this with Anthony Donahue, too, about in a 5-6-7-game series, if Carmelo Anthony has to play a 4 against, David West, and Hansbrough and Hibbert and all these guys, he's going to get banged around a little bit. Now,
a lot. And his shoulder's hurting.
Yeah.
You saw him, his shoulder's hurting, and they're smacking him. I don't know, Ray. You know, the thing about that is, though, we can talk about it, but physically out there, they've got to realize you can't just give away the first 6 minutes of the game and get yourself where you're either having Tyson in foul trouble or Melo in foul trouble. They're two of your most important assets offensively and defensively. So to me, logically, Pablo doesn't matter. And there's no advantage that you get having Pablo and Felton on the court at the same time. There's no advantage on that on Indiana against George Hill and Stevenson. So the advantage that you think you might be getting, and maybe it worked against Boston, it doesn't work against Indiana's team. So to me, you've got to let Copeland play some minutes, and maybe he gets the fouls instead of Melo getting them. Don't make Melo and Chandler get in the fouls.
Well, I think
let
it also
Kenyon
hurts
Martin
that,
and Copeland do it.
Well, yeah, it also I think it hurts that Kenyon and Marcus Camby, and of course Amari are they're not playing. Amari's not playing, but I think you're worried about having no minutes from those guys. That you're worried about Kenyon. You can't play him for more than 25 minutes a game. Maybe at least that might be in Woody's in the back of his mind. And then
that's the playoffs. You just play him.
All right. Well. So that's it. I mean, if you can play Kenyon Martin, that's your solution because you need a real four. You need somebody that can, or he's even a back of five. I mean, you need somebody that can give Carmelo a break and move into his natural three, or let him sit, like we said, you know, at least this game, well, because of partially because of foul trouble. He only played 36 minutes, and Tyson only played 28 minutes because he fouled out. But part of it is because this Indiana team is a bad matchup, inside at the 4-5 position for us because we don't have depth at that position.
Yeah. So, well, real quick. So tonight, Chicago-Miami start. I think Miami probably wins this in 5 or 6. We said who's playing. Also, D-Wade will be playing game one. What do you got? I mean, obviously, I think Miami will win tonight, but what do you got in the series? We both have picked Miami, but how many games?
The question is this a faux situation? Miami will Miami lose a game?
Yes, they will.
Okay. So
the Bulls will get healthy enough to win one.
I'm a being a little facetious.
Yeah.
Look, I wish that the Bulls were close to full strength, but the Bulls will win. The Bulls will win at least one, if not two, games at home. So right now, I'm going to say Tom Thibodeau for president, Tom Thibodeau for coach of the year, Thibodeau for comeback coach of the year, Thibodeau for coaching without his number one superstar of the year.
He's the man,
so,
man.
Let me give Tom Thibodeau some props.
Two games.
Say that the Bulls
will
win two. So I'll say the Heat is six.
So Golden State, San Antonio. This is going to be a little bit more interesting. I think Golden State, unfortunately, because of David Lee, they just can't do enough. But I think that they'll have some moments, and I think the Spurs will win in six.
It's funny because this game could go seven, or the Spurs could just win in five. I actually think that the wheels will come off a little bit for Golden State, and I think that the Spurs' home court advantage is actually very tough. So I actually like the Spurs. I'm going to go on a limb and say the Spurs win in five, just because, you know, maybe the Golden State Warriors haven't met a team that executes this well. Now, they played them well in the regular season, right? I think each team won on its home court. But I think in the playoffs, especially that last half of the fourth quarter in their last game, the execution was so terrible on Golden State's standpoint that I think that this Warrior team isn't experienced enough, and I think that when the Heat, you know, when San Antonio turns on the Heat, then I think they're gonna fumble a little bit, and so I like the Spurs in five.
Okay, well, listen, let's get into a little bit of our champs and chumps. I'm going to start off, man. I'm going to go negative, and I'm going to just say straight up, my chumps are the Brooklyn Nets. We already spoke about it, so I won't kill it. I'll just say this. You can't lose that game seven. You can't lose when they have no Rose, no Dang, no Heinrich, banged up Noah. It's just no joke. It's pitiful. They got nothing, just like Humphries did against Kim Kardashian. Nothing. Good first year, Brooklyn, but they are definitely the chumps. I'm sorry, D. Will. Johnson with those shots in the fourth quarter. Lopez, the lack of thuggery and rebounding. Nobody could, you know, really do anything. All they did every time was isolation. They were like the Knicks. It was just like dribble off the top of the key. They didn't even come set a pick. So the Nets, the Brooklyn Nets are my chumps of the sports weekend. Bad job, fellas. Sorry, PJ.
So my chumps, staying in that same sport, are the Los Angeles Clippers. We talked about this a little bit before. They had a roster that should have competed for a Western Conference championship. They've got arguably the best point guard in the league, one of the top two or three. They've got a front court full of athleticism. They've got a Caron Butler and wing players that can score and can shoot and can, create. Jamal Crawford can create and get his own shot, and Chauncey Billups has got championship pedigree and rings, or a ring anyway, in the NBA with the Detroit Pistons. So Clippers are disappointed. They ran into a buzzsaw in the Memphis Grizzlies, but you know what? They still lost four in a row. And I know Griffin turned his ankle and is playing on a bad ankle, but so is Zebo. And yet and still, they lost four in a row. So So, yeah, Clippers are my chumps.
Well, my champs, I'm going to Major League Baseball. They've won 6 in a row, and they are the former or the ex-champs. They've scored 140 runs, given up 130. I'm talking about the first-place NL West San Francisco Giants at 19-12. They just swept the Dodgers this weekend. They're playing 6-13 ball. Hunter Pence, Posey and the guys, Kane is starting to wake up. The pitchers are getting it going. They're 11-4 at home, 8-8, 500 on the road. You know, that's what you want in baseball. If you can play, you know, a little bit above 500 on the road and then be dominant at home, well, that gives you 600 ball, ladies and gentlemen, and the Giants are just doing it. Pitching, defense, fundamentals, Ray. The San Francisco Giants are my champs of the weekend.
Okay, so I'm going to stay in that sport as well, stay in baseball, and my champs are the Texas Rangers, who now, along with Boston and the St. Louis Cardinals, believe it or not, have the best record in Major League Baseball. And we all thought they'd be good, but we figured losing some pitching, losing Josh Hamilton, that the Rangers were in a little bit of trouble. But this Ranger team is pretty resilient, and, you know, you almost had his perfect game. So, you know, you's pitching. So you Darvish is pitching. And then that team, you know, and I got my man AJ Pierzynski on the fantasy team, right? But you know, that team is being led by Ian Kinsler and Nelson Cruz. You know, they can still do their thing. Lance Berkman, still contributing at his advanced age, and the pitching is really delivered for them. So I love the fact that Texas Rangers lost Josh Hamilton, and yet they still have the best record in baseball. So Joe Nathan, Yu Darvish, you know, even Holland and Agundo, everybody's contributing. So 20-11, nice weekend. Texas Rangers, my champs.
Okay. Well, listen, I mean, last couple minutes, we're going to go around MLB. You know, I want to give a shout-out to the Triple Crown winner and the MVP. His OPS is 1,080. His slugging is .615. His batting average is .385. Cabrera, ladies and gentlemen, is, I mean, you know, Ray, I think, you know, we get so jaded with baseball, unfortunately, because of the steroid era. But I think also there's times like where we got to appreciate Mayweather. You got to appreciate, just like you and I love, even though of, you know, other issues, Manny Ramirez and Albert Bell, right? But you got to appreciate a Gary Sheffield type, an assassin with the bat, an amazing hitter. And Miguel Cabrera is the big cat is dominant. He's just a dominant hitter. I mean, 47 hits. He's got 8 doubles. You know, we talked about these teams, right? So you just mentioned the Rangers, and I'm talking about the Giants. Well, the other top 5 teams, the Cardinals, the Tigers, you know, the Red Sox are up there, and also the Kansas City Royals, and then our Yankees are like 6th or 7th best record as well. But Cabrera is just doing it, man. And we mentioned a couple shows ago, Torrey Hunter. You know, he's in the top 4 in hits and batting and stuff. And so it's just nice to see in baseball that you got some guys that are just like killing it. But I just had to give that love to Cabrera. Now, what do you think about your boy in Colorado? Tulowitzki is doing it. That shortstop, man.
Well, he's going to get hurt at some point. He can't stay healthy. No, I'm not hating on him. But, you know, he's with him, it's all about health. Can he stay on the
348, he's batting.
Well, speaking of health, though, you know who's breaking down is Roy Halladay. I don't know if you saw that his shoulder isn't right. I mean, if you look at since he's been with the Phillies, every year his ERA has been going up. He's been less and less effective. I think something is seriously wrong with his shoulder. So they just put him on the 15-day DL, and he said he had discomfort in his right shoulder, so you're always worried about that, shoulders and elbows. There's also some good news, though, of coming back from injury. So A-Rod's hitting off a tee since his surgery on his hip, so that's always good. The White Sox lost Gavin Floyd, so unfortunately that their right-hander is going to have elbow surgery. Like I said, you hate those shoulders and elbows.
Yeah.
And then the Red Sox put their closer, Andrew Bailey, on the DL with a bicep strain. But the good thing is they just bring Hanrahan, who was their closer last year, off the DL, and then boom, boom, they don't skip a beat. So the Red Sox, who I predicted actually to come in fifth in the American League East, We might need an I'm sorry going on over there.
Yeah, no, definitely.
But I'll
I'll
wait. Baseball's a
yeah,
season.
Well, listen. But you know what? Baseball is definitely, you know, it's heating up, and it's good to see teams like Kansas City playing well. Obviously, we said the Cardinals. You know, it's like baseball is solid in the sense that, you know, the Cardinals, you see the Tigers. Like, these teams where Cardinals, you know, they let Pujols go, you know, and they took a shot, and, you know, you're building around, like, Freeze and Alan Craig and, you know, all these other, you know, Wainwright and these different guys. And, you know, I think it's nice to see. I really do. I think it's really cool to see the Cardinals do well. And, you know, they're not even 100%. And you got John Jay out there in the outfield, you know, so it's good. But those Giants, man, they're something else, right? They're not to be messed with.
Yeah, you know, give them credit because they're the 2 out of 3-time defending champs, and everybody thought the Dodgers would run away with that division, and even Arizona looked pretty good, and Colorado a week ago had the best record in baseball, but they just don't go away. The San Francisco Giants are always there, and I guess when you can pitch and you can hit enough, and that ballpark is a fun ballpark to go to, by the way. So AT&T Park, put that on your list. They're a fun team, and they stay in the mix. They stay relevant.
Yeah, no. That's always a good thing. You know, we got some great baseball coming up, and I still tell people, man, they got to go to RayandTayToday.com. Still listen to our baseball preview show so you could see, even like, for example, second in the AL Central, what Ray and Tay thought about the Kansas City Royals, who are 17-11, and, you know, Bob Brenly, check that show out. And, you know, we got different things, you know, talking about even the Nats, the Braves, the Reds, where we thought they would finish. And, you know, definitely a good show. I'm excited about the games tonight. You know, obviously this week, the second game's tomorrow with the Knicks and Pacers and OKC and Memphis. And then on the horizon, you know, we still might have Charles Davis join us at the end of this week or, you know, maybe an NBA reporter. We'll see. For Friday, we'll be back on Friday. And
who do you have tonight, real quick, in the Bulls Heat and the Warriors?
Yeah, first? I'm going Heat, like, you know, like 101-95, and then I gotta go with the Spurs. I think they'll 96-92. I think the home teams. You know, we could be setting, Ray. I told you it could be very easily. It's either gonna be, I said, the Clippers Memphis winner or the Spurs against the Heat in the NBA Finals, and I don't think that I'll be wrong with that. So, you know, I mean, it's not going on such a limb, right? But it's going to be somewhere in there. So either way,
it's
all going to be fun.
Yeah, I think this Bulls game might be a blowout only because, you know, they're tired and without their guns, and especially without Heinrich, who helps defensively contain D Wade a little bit, just like he was a excellent defender on Darren Williams, and it's a big drop off between he and Nate Robinson. Now Nate brings a lot to the table, but he just doesn't do it quite as well defensively. So yeah, I think that's a blowout, and I think the Spurs, you know, win by 5-6 points in that game.
All right.
So both home.
Well, yeah. Well, thanks for listening. We will check you on Friday. And, hey, thanks for talking sports with friends, Ray and Tay, today.
We're out.
Enjoy the game. Fix that Knicks lineup, y'all.
Copeland, president. Tail vote.
Yeah, man. See you Friday.
I feel but one way.
And tweet at us, Ray and Tay Today at Twitter. Hit us up at rayandtaytoday.com. Answer them poll questions. I know you're listening, Kwame. Love you. Thanks, man.